Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello and welcome to Tech Talk for another week. I am Stephen Scott. Good to have your company once again. This week I am joined, as always, by Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet. Hello to you, Robin.
Hey, Stephen, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm very excited about this week's show. It's a bit of a special one this week because we're talking about something that I know a lot of you out there have been asking for, have been hoping for, have been waiting for. One particular person who might be on this panel, for example, may have been asking about this just a couple of weeks ago. Yes, we're going to be talking about RNIB's new skill for the Amazon Echo to enjoy talking books. It's here! It's here! Hallelujah. Well, we're going to talk about it. We're going to review it for you. We're going to get into all the detail about it. And with us, we have two special guests this week. Tim and Andy are both taking the week off. And with us this week, we've got Redon's, perfect person to have here, Redon's Red Sale, the book host, of course, book show host here on RNIB Connect Radio. Red, great to have you here on Tech Talk.
It's fantastic to be on the show with such good news to celebrate.
Oh, it's good news. We're going to get into that in all kinds of detail today. So, you know, get a cup of tea. We'll give you time. Get a cup of tea or coffee. You know, we're not discriminatory here. You can drink anything, a soft drink. You know, we'll maybe decide later what our beverage of choice is. But before that, let's also introduce Paul Porter from RNIB. Paul, what's your title these days? Because it's always changing every time I speak to you. What's your title this week?
It's great to be on again, Steve. It's been a little while, but I'm a digital transformation manager and I'm working in the RNIB library team. So really excited to be sharing this good news with everyone.
Yeah, it is good news, Paul. You know, I think we'll start with you on this because you've been involved in setting all this up. You've been involved in particularly a lot of the testing that's gone on to make sure that we trial this and make sure it's working. So first off, for those who maybe are wondering how this will work and what it even is, maybe let's start at the very beginning. So what does it mean for an Amazon Echo skill to exist to get RNIB talking books? What does that mean?
It essentially means that you can talk to your Echo device and ask for an RNIB talking book by name or by offer or by a keyword. So, you know, ways of accessing our, I don't know, was it 34,000 titles at the moment? And that's rising pretty much day by day because we're getting lots of books from different publishers. So it really means you can listen to a book without having to go onto your computer, without having to type anything in, just by using your voice. And it works, you know, and if you're familiar with skills, it's all done by voice control and gives you voice feedback. There's no visuals at the moment. It's purely voice. So if you have an Amazon device or you've got the Amazon app on your smartphone or tablet, you can access RNIB talking books pretty much from anywhere.
Now, I'm going to hold back Robin and Red here because I know they've got tons of questions to ask and it's going to be like, you know, just all be piling on you, Paul, asking questions. And we're going to get a review soon from Hannah Rowlett from RNIB's wonderful Technology for Life team. Hannah has done a review for us of how the skill works in practice. So we're going to get that demo on air soon. But I want to ask you, Paul, you know, people hear this news and a lot of people will be excited saying, oh, great, a new way to enjoy RNIB talking books. Some people might say, oh, hang on a minute, does that mean something's going away? Are we losing, you know, another way to enjoy talking books? Are we moving towards digital only and moving away from say, USB sticks or the digital downloads through the website, that kind of thing? Nothing's changing, is it?
No. We want to improve the possibilities that you've got for accessing books. And this is just the latest, you know, in what we're doing digitally, but the traditional way of getting talking books on CD or memory stick isn't going away anytime soon. I mean, you know, CDs and USBs might disappear because something new comes along. You know, we found that with listening to music, you know, CDs replace vinyl pretty much, although some people would disagree with that. But, you know,
it's back.
People aren't using CDs as much because they've got music services on smart speakers and phones and what have you. So, you know, technology is always changing. There's new things coming along. But, you know, rest assured, if you're still a CD or USB user, then that that won't change. You know, it might be eventually everyone turns to getting their books digitally, because it means you can choose whatever book you want, you know, straight away. You don't have to wait till it comes through the post. If you don't like it, you can discard it and, you know, try something else. So it might be eventually everyone turns to digital anyway, so that there'd be no need for CDs or USBs. But,
it's funny.
Eventually,
I was thinking about this the other day because I was watching a movie on Netflix, and my wife and I said, you know, this film is terrible. It's just a really bad movie. I won't tell you what it was. It was just awful. And we just turned it off and we tried another film, and it was great. And I thought, I remember the days when you used to spend like 15 quid on a DVD and you'd take it home. And this was on the hope that you'd like it. And, you know, you'd end up watching films that you just didn't like because you thought, well, I paid 15 quid for it, so I'm going to watch it. Or is that just me? But no, it was just really, you know, things have changed so much, and the way we get content now has changed a lot. Robin, you're hearing this news for the first time this week, as is everybody else. What's your thoughts on the news that this skill is now here?
I'm so excited.
You just can't hide it.
Yeah, really, really good news. And I think, even though we've got brilliant talking book players that hopefully are easy to use by everybody, and we've got a range of options when it comes to getting those books, you mentioned USB stick, you know, you can also get them on CDs. And we talked about choice a moment ago, and, you know, how if you're halfway through something and you think, oh, this isn't working for me, the ease of being able to look for something else. For people that aren't particularly digitally confident or comfortable, doing it by voice through a smart speaker, I think, is going to really open doors for people. My mum, for example, she gets a random selection of audiobooks delivered on CD. And if she doesn't like them, then, you know, she can return them. And it's quite a, you know, it's a very flexible and efficient process, but still it's not instantaneous. And so, you know, I'm thinking about her and how she'll be able to, you know, search for her favorite author, genre, you know, pick up another book. I've got a few questions that I'll put after the demo around how easy it is to be able to pick up one book and, you know, have several books on the go, whatever it might be, you know, because that's the luxury that we have when we're a little bit more confident or comfortable with, say, a smartphone. But yeah, so this is definitely going to open doors for people. The breadth and choice that the Talking Book Library offers is breathtaking. You know, it's amazing. Really good.
Yeah, definitely. Red, from your perspective, you're the host of Read On here on RNIB Connect Radio, of course, the fantastic radio show. Fridays at 1 and on podcast. And I'll do your promotion for you. I'm just there's like a marketing machine here, aren't I?
Yeah, yeah. I'd put it the other great podcast.
Oh, you're too kind. Too kind.
But you know,
what's
that?
Oh, thanks. You're on it, Christofferson. So, you know. So, from your point of view, and I think it's fair to say, you know, you're not Mr. Techie Red, right? I mean, and that's kind of partly why I wanted you here as well, is because you are the voice of audiobooks and books generally on the station. But I know you're not Mr. Techie. You admit that. So I guess for you, when you heard the news this was coming, were you apprehensive about it? Were you thinking, how am I going to use this? Or how does a smart speaker read books in any kind of usable way? What were your initial thoughts?
You're right. I am the digital immigrant. Like Robin, I've got a few questions, although I have been dragged kicking and screaming into the 21st century by dint of having an 18-year-old and a 21-year-old. So I have seen and heard what smart speakers can do. I mean, I'm anything that makes books more accessible is music to my ears, if that's not mixing my metaphors. And like Robin, I just agree that having the ability to dip into a book without going to the Audible site and listen to a 3-minute clip, which, you know, might be taken from the middle of the book and might just not immediately chime with you, is just wonderful. When I could see, I would buy lots of books or go to the library, pick them up, read a chapter and just go, nah, that's not for me, take it back to the library, or, you know, wrap it up and send it to my sister thinking, you might like this as a birthday present. So this is just brilliant. And we've got so much choice and so little time these days that anything that gives us the ability quickly and easily to dip into books is only going to make bookworms like me a lot happier and cautious readers a lot more prepared just to experiment.
And that dip in point, I mean, I use Easy Reader on the phone as my go-to for the Talking Book Library. You know, you choose something that you think sounds good, but the dipping in first involves downloading, which can take minutes. Whereas this, because it's streaming, you know, it's going to be instantaneous. You can start listening to chapter one or whatever and, maybe not, you know, and go on to something else. But so, yeah, I mean, it's going to be even more convenient now to find the book that you really love.
You know, it's interesting because when we were talking about doing this on the show, I kind of had in my head people thinking, why is he doing a whole show on this one thing? It's a skill, right? There's lots of skills out there. But this is actually quite a big deal, Paul. You know, this is bringing a huge library of content for free to, blind and partially sighted people who, in some cases, don't have access, easy access to talking books. And even with the formats available today, can still find it a challenge. So this is quite a big deal.
It is, absolutely. I used to work in the Tech for Life team, and you know, back in 2017, we had people calling us, you know, quite elderly people who had echoes and different devices, and you know, they were saying, when can I get my talking books on you know, my Echo, for example. And you know, so we've been looking at doing this for a number of years, and it's only now we've been able to do that. And it just opens up choice. You can read books in sequence. You know, you can choose what you want when you want. And I don't know about anyone else, but, you know, when I was growing up in the 70s, you know, you had to wait for a book to be produced in Braille, or you had to, you know, wait for a talking book. And sometimes books you wanted weren't available. So I'm even now still in a mindset, if I get a book, it's really hard to stop reading it because I feel as if I'm missing out on something. And sometimes you get to the end of a book and you think, oh, that was a waste of time. And occasionally you'll be surprised and think, oh, I'm glad I read that because, I got through and it got better. But, you know, I'm still of a mindset that it's difficult to put a book down because books were so precious.
Yeah, there's a sense of gratitude. There's a sense of gratitude. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's funny, I'm sitting here with a little pile of memory sticks, which have a load of books on them, which go back sort of 2 or 3 years before I started using Easy Reader. And just thinking about those, you know, you get 3 books on each memory stick, you'd have to put it into your Daisy player or your Sonics player. You'd have to find out which books were on there. And, you know, there's no way of keeping track of those different memory sticks and what's on them. I've forgotten about a lot of those books that are on there. Whereas it's got better with Easy Reader because you have a list of books that you can scroll down. You think, oh, I'll go to that one. But even that can be a bit of a pain sometimes. And it's the on-demand service. I think we've all just got used to on-demand services. And this is just bringing the RNIB library right up to date with that and giving us a really, really powerful tool.
Shall we hear it in action? I think we should. Let's hear how this skill actually works, courtesy of the Technology for Life team.
Hi, I'm Hannah from RNIB's Technology for Life team. And today I'm going to talk to you about the new RNIB Talking Book skill for Alexa-enabled devices. The skill offers a different way of listening to the RNIB Talking Book catalogue of over 32,000 titles and is free for blind and partially sighted people to enjoy. You need 3 things to get all set up. You need an Alexa-enabled device. So I have an Amazon Echo here today that I'm going to be demonstrating the skill on. You need the Alexa app on one of your smart devices. And you also need an RNIB Reading Services account. If you don't already have an RNIB Reading Services account, then you can register for one by going to readingservices.rnib.org.uk. Our first step is to enable the RNIB Talking Book skill. You can do this in 2 ways. You can either head to the Alexa app and search for the skill in the Skills section, or you can ask Alexa to open or start RNIB Talking Books. She will reply to say you need to enable the skill and that she has sent information about the skill to the Alexa app. When you find the skill on the app, find the Enable button and tap to enable. The next step is to link your RNIB Talking Book skill to your RNIB Reading Services account. Once you've enabled the skill, a settings option will appear. Head into this menu and find the option to link account. The RNIB Reading Services login page will appear where you can add your username and password. Once you've done this, your accounts will be linked and you can start using the skill. The first time you open the Talking Book skill, a tutorial will be launched. This tutorial will talk you through how to use the skill, what to say to search for a book, and the play controls when listening to a book. Don't worry if you're brand new to using an Alexa-enabled device. The tutorial will also give you an opportunity to practice saying the phrases needed to control the skill. You can replay the tutorial as many times as you like. Just say, Alexa, tutorial. Here are a couple of key phrases. So to open or start the skill, say, Alexa, open RNIB Talking Books. You can search for a book by its title or by its subject matter by saying find, followed by the title of the book or the subject matter, for example, Harry Potter or romance. You can also search for books by particular authors by using the phrase list. So, list books by and then the name of the author. The results of your search are presented in a numbered list. To select a book from the list, say the number of the title you wish to listen to. Alexa, open RNIB Talking Books.
Good to see you again. To search for a book, say find followed by the title.
Find Harry Potter.
We have 10 books matching Harry Potter. You can interrupt me at any time by saying, Alexa, say the number matching the book on the list. To pick Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone by J.K. Rowling, say 1. To pick Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets by J.K. Rowling, say 2. To pick Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban by J.K. Rowling, say 3. To pick Harry
Alexa,
Potter and the Goblet...
1.
You picked Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone by J.K. Rowling. To continue reading from the last moment, say continue. To read from the beginning, say start. Or, choose one of the following. Table of contents, or description.
Continue.
The Boy Who Lived. Mr. and Mrs. Dursley, of number 4 Privet Drive, were proud to say that they were perfectly normal, thank you very much. They were the last people you'd expect to be involved in anything strange or mysterious, because they just didn't hold with such nonsense.
Alexa.
Mr. Dursley.
Pause.
Goodbye.
Okay, so as you heard, after I selected the book that I wanted to listen to, Alexa gave me several options of things I could do. So I'd already listened to the book previously, so it asked me if I wanted to continue from where I last was listening, if I wanted to start from the beginning of the book, if I wanted to go through the table of contents, or to hear a description of the book. Now I'm in and listening to my book, I have several control options for the book player. I can say next, previous, pause, resume, or stop. So a moment ago, I just paused Harry Potter playing. So now I'm going to start again by saying, Alexa, resume.
Spying on the neighbours. The Dursleys had a small son called Dudley, and in their opinion, there was no finer boy anywhere.
Alexa, next.
Chapter 2. The Vanishing Glass. Nearly 10 years had passed since the Dursleys had woken up to find their
Alexa,
nephew on the front
stop.
See you soon.
Sometimes there can be a pause between you giving a command and the book playing. This is just the skill getting the book ready. The skill will remember your location in a book, so you can pick it up at a later date and continue listening. So the next time you open the skill, Alexa, open RNIB Talking Books.
Hello again. Would you like to continue playing Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone by J.K. Rowling?
Yes.
But Privet Drive had hardly changed at all. The sun rose on the same tidy front gardens.
Alexa,
and lit up the brown.
Stop.
Until next time.
When using the skill, at any point, if you don't know where you are or what to say, just say, Alexa, help. I hope you enjoy using the skill. If you would like to get in contact with RNIB's Technology for Life team, call us on 0303 123 9999 or email tfl@rnib.org.uk.
Thank you to Hannah Rowlett there for that fantastic presentation on how that skill works, and I think we all found that really useful, Red. I mean, that was brilliant, wasn't it? Just of hearing it in action like that.
Really good. Really, really clear presentation. And actually, I don't know how other listeners are going to feel, but that just debugs it for me. It reflects just how simple it is. And there's only a few keywords to remember. And actually, the other thing is, you know, even as we're all recording from separate rooms at the moment, you can hear the quality of just how good those Amazon products are. I've got a Dot at home, and it's a real pleasure to listen to a book on it.
Yeah.
Mm. We should have given an A-bomb warning, I think, at the beginning of that.
if you've got an Amazon device, it's going to be going off all over the place. Yeah. I can only apologise. Yeah, I think we'll put a note at the beginning of the show, I think, when we put it out, saying just be aware, guys, this might be a problem. Robin, your thoughts on that demo?
Yeah, really good. You know, does what it says on the tin.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Very well presented there. Thank you so much. I'm super excited.
Well, I know you all have questions, and Paul, you're going to be hopefully able to answer some of these questions. Feel free to bat them back if you don't, because I know this is a work in progress. And, you know, some things will be active, some things might be coming down the line, I guess, and features will constantly update on these skills. That's what's great about them in some ways, that, you know, down the line, more things can be changed or added. And you don't have to go out and buy a new Echo Dot to make it possible. You can use the same piece of hardware every single time. But Robin, I know you've got a couple of questions, so we'll start with you.
I've got three.
Oh, three? So, all right, greedy. Right, one at a time.
I would also say that you can get A-ladies in your car as well. So you could have this everywhere.
And on TVs, actually. Some TVs have got it. A Fire TV.
Oh, yeah. Fridges, all sorts. Everything will be reading to you.
Do you know something? Right, I don't know if you saw this. There was a coffee machine that was launched last week, and it's got Lady A built in. And I just imagine the conversation one day. You know, me calling up Red and saying, "Do you know something? I just find the bass response off my podcast not great on this coffee machine." it's just like a really bizarre world we now live in, where, you know, the speaker quality of my coffee machine is in question.
You know, you can speed up the speech speed of the A lady. So I think a coffee machine, particularly one that, you know, serves espressos, should be a little bit faster. Yeah, really good. Okay, so first question. We heard the next command being issued there, and it jumped by chapter. In the Easy Reader app, you can choose the level of, you know, skip navigation. So you can set it to section, which depends on how the Daisy book's defined. Chapter, which again can be a little bit, it depends on the book, really. But you can also have jump steps as well, like 2 minutes and 15 seconds and stuff like that. Is that going to be coming at some point?
Absolutely, Robin. I mean, there are some settings in the playback of the books that Amazon control. So we're talking to them to make that possible. You may have noticed that you can't change the speed of the book playback. But again, that's something we're talking to Amazon about to make possible. You know, so that there are some things that are outside our control at the moment. But RNIB has a very good relationship with Amazon, so we're looking to them to implement those features.
Brilliant, because I think
in the future, really,
in a book, that a skip back, you know, 15 seconds or something, because you just missed something, I think would be high on people's lists to get that implemented ASAP. But no, this is absolutely brilliant. Second question, does it sync with Easy Reader, the reading position?
Not yet, but it's something we're looking at as part of the development of the whole reading services platform. So we're looking at being able to sync across different platforms, different devices. So that'll be coming, you know, in a future update.
And, cool. You know, to kind of dig into that a bit, because that's a great question, actually. I think sometimes we're a bit spoiled by technology in some ways. That question, I guess, Robin, comes from your experience of Audible. Because that's my take on that, which is the Audible, you know, across devices you can sync. But of course, that's because Amazon own everything, every part of that chain. So, you know, from the Fire tablet to the Echo to even the service that provides the books, everything is all daisy chained together. So it does make it a lot easier for them to build that in. I guess it's more difficult, Paul, with this because you're going across different platforms. I mean, Easy Reader is made by Dolphin. The skill, you've worked in partnership with Amazon to make this happen. And then, of course, there are other devices like, for example, the Victor Reader Stream. A lot of people might listen on USB sticks or, on a solo. It's very hard, I imagine, to achieve that, especially on those devices that aren't really digital or digitally connected devices like USB sticks and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but, you know, it is something we want to do. We want to make it a seamless process so you can start on one device, pick up on another. We also want to have things like bookshelves on Easy Reader and smart speaker so that you can add a book. And then, you know, because at the moment you have to pretty much remember what book you were reading previously, whereas if we have a bookshelf, you'll be able to list books that you've got on your bookshelf and then, you know, choose to read it or delete it or, whatever you want to do with it. So, you know, what we wanted to do was to get the skill out there so people could start using it and then develop it and, you know, integrate it into reading services as a whole. So the whole digital process is, you know, should be seamless and integrated into lots of different devices.
So, yeah, that's a question I was going to ask. Can you have several books on the go? And would you then say, go to my recent books, and it would list your last five and you could pick off that?
So, again, not at the moment, but, you know, that bookshelf function is something we want to add. But, you know, if you remembered what book you were reading previously, it will take you back to it and you've got the option to continue from where you left off in books you've read previously.
So you kind of can do that then, but you just have to know the name of the book you're on.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I mean, because there's no downloading involved, it's not really a question of, you know, what have I got on my device like it would be with Easy Reader. Mm. It's almost like favoriting stuff or kind of a recent list like Red said. So, yeah, but that's key that the reading position is remembered, even though you might have dipped into another book in the meantime. So that's brilliant. That's really good.
Would that satisfy you, Red? Would that make sense to you?
That makes perfect sense to me. I mean, yeah, I tend to have more books on the go than most just because of the nature of my job. But yeah, you know, I can hold the titles of a few in my head. And so long as I know that I'm going to go back to the previous position, that's perfect. I must say I also like putting in bookmarks. I've always found, having the inbuilt daisy function of being able to put in a bookmark for a passage that I might use in a book interview or might just want to show off to my friends that I have actually really read that book is quite useful. And by the sounds of it, if you can pick up from where you left off, then the technology is going to be there possibly in the future to put in bookmarks, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
stored locally, isn't it?
So we welcome suggestions,
I mean, for me, I'm not as concerned about it syncing its reading position across different devices as, you know, you mentioned about Audible, and yes, that is convenient. But yes, there are different providers there. And, you know, how would that work with something like the Victor Stream, say? But so for me, I don't know if I'm unusual. Red's alluded to it. You know, I've usually got several books on the go. So I'm more than happy for my Echo to be where I'm listening to book A. Mm. And my phone, I've got books B and C on the go, or whatever it might be. You know, what do I fancy today? Do I want to finish off that, you know, find out who done it? Or do I want to dip into that autobiography? So, yeah, I'm more than happy for it to. I mean, the key thing is that it remembers where you were. That's super frustrating when even the easy reader sometimes forgets that. So, yeah, that's brilliant. That's key.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. Actually, yes, I like to keep work and pleasure books separate. So I already have two different devices that I listen to my books on. So yeah, no, I think that's fine.
I think it's just exciting that we've got so much choice now, you know, from different platforms, be it RNIB or Audible or, you know, Apple Books or Google Books or whatever it might be. You know, any book that you want to read is available in some sort of format these days, be it, electronic voice or human narration or braille or large print. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, growing up in the 70s where books were very scarce, you know, it's still a joy to be able to, you know, hear a book review on the radio and think, oh, I really want that book. And to be able to get it on some platform, you know, 5 minutes later, I think that's just, it still thrills me. And it's great to be able to read the same book at the same time as everyone else, you know, might be reading the latest Booker Prize winner or whatever it might be. You know, I was really excited being from Glasgow when Shuggy Bean won the Booker most recently.
Yeah, what a deserving
winner. And I was able to get it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, what a great winner. And yes, no, exactly. With a book where you might not necessarily know how to spell the name if you can't see your device, actually, and you're not going to be writing it down if, like me, you can't see because there's no point in it. Actually, to be able to turn round to your A device and say, you know, find Shuggy Bane or search for the author's name, then it's immediate. You don't have the possibility to lose it or forget it.
And going back to what Paul was saying about growing up in the 70s and 80s and listening to well, you were talking about Braille, but for me it was cassettes and then latterly CDs. And the thing that I'm super grateful for is the fact that we get the unabridged versions these days. Yeah. You know, everything was abridged when it was available to us. You know, we'd get the kind of pared down version, which there's a book that I've been listening to recently called This Book Will Change Your Life. And only because I came across a set of CDs on my mum's bookshelf from goodness knows how long back. And it was good, but weird. Then I got the full version from Talking Books and it was a completely different experience. Mm. So I wanted to throw that in there as well. We're talking unabridged here. Space isn't an issue. Fill your boots, really. You know, check out as many books as you like. Can I ask my third question?
Well, oh, sorry. Can I just quickly say on this, because you might think Stephen's very quiet. What's going on? Has he got an Amazon delivery? What's going on? I'm just really enjoying this conversation. But I think for me, I'm the one in the group here who doesn't listen to books very much. And there's a couple of different reasons for that. I think my inability to listen without falling asleep is the main issue. But I didn't grow up with a lot of books. And I think that's partly because when you grow up partially sighted, you are either at the point where you can read books that are large print, and there were a lot of those around, but they just weren't large enough for me, or they were so blooming heavy, you know, that you get a book that you could manage, but you know you could barely carry it around. So it wasn't much fun. And then audiobooks were in such short supply. You guys talk about growing up in the 70s. I grew up 80s, properly, like 90s, I guess. You know, and I remember even when I started here at RNIB in 2007, I remember people talking about the lack of books. And I remember going into, and I still remember it to this day, going into the big bookstores at the time. I think it was Borders at the time I had gone into in Glasgow. And they had one shelf in this huge store, one shelf dedicated to audiobooks. And it wasn't even full. And I remember thinking, I'll never be able to enjoy these books. And I'd hear people talk about the love of books and the love of reading. And I just couldn't get myself into that mindset. And because I grew up in a world where reading was paper-based, that was proper reading. as people would tell me. You know, I just felt that it wasn't the right way to do it. What was I going to get out of it? And, you know, I kind of feel I've lost a lot of time on that. I do think, though, Paul, and I'm not just saying this because, you know, I'm here at RNIB or because this is happening, but I actually think this is going to change my view on things. I have got an Audible account. I do. My wife, you know, soaks up all the credits that I, you know, pay for every month, and she, you know, puts them out on books that she loves. She'll switch to this in a second. She will adore this, but so will I. I think I'm going to enjoy it because it seems the simplicity of it is the key. One question I have, though, is around discoverability, because this is partly my problem, I think, in getting into books. Like Red and Robin, you guys are well-read guys. Paul, you're the same. You know, you're all read, well-read people, and you mention authors, and you'll know exactly, oh, yeah, that guy did a great book, or that girl did a great book on this, that, or the next thing. Whereas I don't have a clue who anybody is. I'm just like, what? It's the same in movies. I know nobody in movies. Someone says, oh, did you watch that movie with Margot Robbie? And I'm going, who? Yeah, I don't have a clue. I just don't pay attention to these things. But how do I find out? Like, how do I get information about the books that I might be interested in? So say it's thrillers. I love thrillers. I love stories about thrillers. Not necessarily horrors or any of that, but a good detective thriller, for example. Is there a kind of discoverability part of this skill, or is that something I need to go elsewhere for?
Not at the moment. I mean, you can say, you know, find books about, I don't know, Harry Potter or romance, but if you ask for books about romance, you get about 420
That's like a
titles,
Google search.
So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if a skill necessarily lends itself to doing in-depth searching. So you might want to search using a computer or your smartphone. But again, we are looking at across the whole reading services platform, being able to have, you know, a much better search, you know, searching by genre and so on, and you know, drilling down different levels. So it will come. But what we've got at the moment is the first version. We wanted to get it out there for people to use. So, you know, you can search by book title, you can search by author, or you could say, for example, you know, find books about Charles Dickens, and it will list biographies and what have you about him and books about him. So,
but you see my point, though, don't you? It's always about the discoverability.
I do,
because
yeah,
the challenge is knowing what's there. I mean, for you, Red, you might pick up, you'll hear an author's name and you'll probably think that author does a great job, so that book is going to be great. Whereas I might hear an author's name and not know if it's the best author in the world or complete trash. And that's the problem sometimes. And I guess you'll face that issue as well. I mean, you're not going to know every single author, are you? So you're going to find out about new people. You're going to wonder what they're like. You're going to learn about the books only, I guess, by reading them or reading reviews of them. I'm thinking about the people who are just trying to get into this, you know, who are kind of thinking, I'd like to explore this world a bit as well.
Well, I can recommend a very good audiobook show. It's out every Friday.
I've been dying to plug that.
Is that the other great RNIB Connect Radio podcast, is it?
Yeah, fresh 1 p.m. every Friday on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hang on, I just need to wipe this egg from my face.
I mean, it's without accusing you of trying to put me out of a job, that is my job. I spend an awful lot of time perusing the pages of the book press, and you're right, you know, it's difficult to always keep abreast. There are so many books published every month. What is good, what I've always actually found very good from the Talking Books service that RNIB does, is when you come to the end of a book, they will often say, and if you enjoyed this book by Colin Dexter, then other great detective series are by Ruth Rendell or P.D. James or whatever. And if there's any way we can, well, firstly, everybody should listen all the way to the end of every talking book that they download, because that's a fantastic thing. But possibly there should be some skill attached to this skill where you can just turn around and say, top 20 crime and thrillers set in the UK. That would be, you can do that search, I suppose, by asking Amazon to search, you know, for a list of great thrillers. yeah, I mean, it's something I'd like to see a bit more of.
I mean, you can also, of course, contact the reading services team via the helpline, and they can, you know, talk you through the latest editions and or look at different genres and authors and so on. So, you know, and if you hear a book that you think you might want to read, then just try it, and if it's there, it'll pick it up. If it isn't, you know, it might be added sometime in the future. You can also request books to be added to the Talking Book service. We're getting books from, you know, lots of different publishers now. You know, so the stock of a number of books is increasing, as I say, pretty much on a daily basis. So the library will just continue to grow, and you know, publishers are very happy to make their books available to RNIB Talking Books, because it is such a, dare I say, a prestigious library. I mean, it used to be, I suppose, in the 80s and 90s, you know, if you talked about Talking Books, it was synonymous with RNIB. Mm-hmm. I mean, audiobooks now, it's a huge business with, you know, companies like Audible and so on, who have got hundreds of thousands of titles. But, you know, I've quite often found that, you know, searching for a book on Audible, you'll find that RNIB Talking Books has got that. So you can, again, you can get it straight away with, you know, on Easy Reader or now on the Skill.
And I think we should also say as well that some of these books, not all of them granted, but, you know, a lot of these books are in some cases made by RNIB as well. So, you know, you might listen to one that's maybe, you know, if you've maybe bought it on Audible or whatever, you might listen to it. It may have been recorded at RNIB's Talking Book Studios. So that gives you a sense of the quality.
Yeah.
That is created
these days,
here,
though, because the audiobook companies, publishing houses, are more and more willing to give the exact same version that they've already recorded.
That's right, yeah.
For reuse, which is brilliant. You're going to get exactly the same thing.
No, but even on top of that, some of the books are actually made, you know, and paid to be made here as well. So it's not like they're made by volunteers.
It's a reciprocal. Yeah. Reciprocal agreement. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, HarperCollins, I very often record their titles at the Talking Book Studio in Camden, and those are the ones that are sold, but they're also the ones that go into the library, which is just, and it's fantastic to be able to listen to the best narrators recording the best books. And that is the gift that we get by using the RNIB library. Anybody who is a huge fan of detective fiction like me, you know, all the Agatha Christies that we've got in the library are recorded by actors who've been in the TV shows. They are the people we associate with Poirot, Miss Marple and Hastings.
I'm glad this has come up, because for people that aren't aware, or maybe, you know, last heard books from the Talking Book Library decades ago, these are top quality recordings. Mm. They're not kind of copied from the original cassettes or anything. They are very, very high quality. You're not going to be unhappy about the choice of narrator, etc. Quite the opposite. So, yeah, these are on par with Audible, absolutely.
We just heard in Holly's clip, didn't we, that, you know, that was Stephen Fry reading.
Right,
J.K.
Exactly,
Rowling.
Yeah. Can I just say as well on that very point, because Paul, dare I bring up the name that I think a lot of us have tried to forget in our lives, and that's Overdrive. You know, that's now gone, sadly, thankfully, you know, delete is appropriate. And I mean, let's be honest, it wasn't brilliant for a whole host of reasons. But one thing that was quite irritating about the Overdrive, and not so much the service itself, but the books on it, from RNIB, was that they were actually in pretty poor quality. And I know that was something that the RNIB was very keen to improve when the new reading services library essentially was built, the new website was built, and the skill or app, I guess, was built within Easy Reader. And now this. So I guess what I'm saying is that the audio quality is as high now as it ever was. Red made reference to this earlier, but that audio quality is good now for all these books, which makes a big difference, of course, as well.
It is, Stephen. What you've got now is the same, exactly the same files that you would have on a CD or memory stick, so the quality is the same. With Overdrive, we had to essentially de-daisify, as it were, the books, and chop them up into sort of random chunks. So, you know, if you move from section to section, you might move from chapter 1 to middle of chapter 4, whereas now it's the same navigation experience that you've got on, you know, as you would on a Daisy player. So the quality is the same, that navigation's the same, and publishers are much more willing to put their books into Talking Books than they were, and onto reading services, than they were onto the Overdrive platform, because the Overdrive platform was an international money-making company, whereas, of course, you know, R&IB is charity, and it's different. So as a result, we've got much more choice. With Overdrive, you might find that, you know, books that you had available on physical CD and memory stick weren't available because publishers wouldn't allow us to put it on the Overdrive download platform. That, you know, disparity is changing, and you know, that there are a few books that still aren't available to
look,
download.
Paul, it's never going to be perfect. I mean, that's the bottom line. There's always someone that's going to complain.
But it's much better.
It is much better. And you know what? It deserves some praise here, because honestly, this is a fantastic service. It's so good. And people might think, well, he's saying that because he's paid by R&IB and he has to say that. I don't have to say that. In fact, on this show, I really do have to say that. And if I didn't think it was great, or I've had issues, I would. And all I would say is, if you're unsure of that, go listen to some previous episodes, especially when the Reading Services website went live. There were a lot of issues with that, and we raised all of them with the team, and we got resolution, and we got through it. You know, I'm not here to just speak and spout wonderful things about R&IB. I think R&IB themselves would be annoyed if I just did that, because that wouldn't be very true. It wouldn't be true to me. I do think this is a great thing.
I agree. And I think, you know, we've just that look back over very recent history shows just how quickly things are improving. Something gets rolled out, it has a few teething problems. There is a tireless team of people, Paul and the other guys, just working flat out to debug these things where the little bugs do come up, to go out to the publishers and say, you know, this is a platform that works. This is a platform that has thousands and thousands of people who rely on this as a lifeline. You know, Talking Books are my windows onto a world that I cannot see. And the fact that simultaneous publications come from HarperCollins, Penguin Random House, and dozens of other publishers is, you know, that's leveling the playing field for blind and partially sighted and dyslexic readers. It's a phenomenal service, and it's just getting better all the time, faster and faster.
The pictures are always better in books.
Indeed.
And on radio, I should say as well.
And I look better on radio too.
I look fantastic on radio. Yeah. I do.
Can I ask a quickie?
Yes, you've been waiting very patiently for your third question, so yeah, please.
So you alluded to this earlier about falling asleep whilst listening to something, and that I think is a key feature when it comes to an audiobook player. It's obviously on all of the other devices. Now, listeners may or may not be aware that there's a built-in feature in the A-Lady where you can say, A-Lady, set a sleep timer for 5 minutes, 90 minutes, whatever you want, and whatever media is streaming, whether it's internet radio, whether it's an audible book, whether it's music, playlist, whatever, it will stop after that time. I've got no reason to think that wouldn't work here. So I don't know if Paul knows, but if I would be quite confident that will work as a built-in way of making sure that if you do fall asleep in front of your Echo, you won't, you know, you're not going to miss more than a few minutes.
Honest answer, Robin, I'm not sure, but it's something I'm going to try after.
You'd have a job to break recording, because it's a built-in feature. So yeah. I just wanted to flag that for people. It's so frustrating when you accidentally fall asleep and you've got no idea how far you have to go back.
Can I just say as well, I think it's about time that Amazon came up with a feature where it can, because obviously it can hear you, right? It has the ability to hear you through the microphones built in. If it detects snoring, it should stop the book.
It's funny you should say that. I mean, there are sound alerts. They're only in the US at the moment, but snoring is one of the ones.
Oh, there you go. You see, so if it can detect that, it could stop the book, and then it would, you know, and just like roll it back a couple of minutes, and that'll do me fine. I just want to ask you as well, Paul, because this is really important, I think, for people to understand. You know, you didn't do this yourself. It wasn't just you and a couple of people who were, you know, doing this, and then, you know, the team put it together and then launch it. you do involve the community as well. You do ask people to get involved. There are user trials. Those users are asked to keep silent, obviously, during the course of the trial because it's not public. So that's why you don't hear the fanfare about it beforehand. But blind people, blind partially sighted people, are involved in the creation of this, feeding back and giving you advice on what to put in, as well as you, of course, being blind yourself, Paul.
Definitely. I mean, you know, we've had the Technology for Life team involved, and we've had some external reading services users involved. So, and we, you know, we welcome ongoing feedback, whether it's good, bad, or, you know, from reading services users, because that's the only way we can, you know, if it's an issue with a book, we can't go through 34,000 books and find any issues. You know, if someone comes with an issue, we can look into it and hopefully fix it. If people have got suggestions, you know, we really welcome that feedback, either by contacting reading services by email or coming through the helpline and giving us feedback. So, you know, and the reading services itself, which encompasses the whole kind of, you know, audio, braille, digital downloads, it is a developing service and we want to improve it. And, you know, by users giving us feedback, you know, that will help us move it in the right direction. And, you know, I think like Red, you know, I'm an avid reader. I've got too many books because, you know, I've got Audible, I've got reading services, I've got, you know, other options to, you know, and it's great just, as I say, to be able to get a book when you want it and not have to wait till it's through the post. So, you know, it's instantaneous downloading and listening to and streaming with a skill. And it will get better, you know, more functionality will be added. And just to say, we will also be making this available on Google Home devices sometime in the foreseeable future as well.
Amazing. That's amazing, actually. We didn't. I'm terrible for forgetting about the Google Home. the Google Home. Yeah, that's still going. That's another great device which a lot of people may have. I must admit, it does seem to me in this country, the adoption of Amazon Echo is much higher. And I think a lot of that, if I'm honest, is probably down to the fact that it was here first. Google Home came second. Although, funnily enough, in Canada, it was the other way around. Google Home was first, and Amazon Echo came later. And, of course, as a result of that, the adoption rate was different. It was in favour of Google Home. So a lot of it is down to that initial adoption. And, of course, once you've bought these devices, you don't always want to mix your drinks, you know, so you're quite happy to, you know, just stick with the one flavour the whole time. You know, Red, this is a great opportunity to learn about new books and try new books, read new books. I mean, it's quite simply just a brilliant skill to try. I'm guessing as soon as we're done here, that's what you're off to do. You're off to play.
Absolutely. I'm going to re-listen to Holly's very, very good how-to, which I understood the first time round, which is good because quite often something like that I would have to listen to two or three times and kind of make notes on my laptop and go through sequentially. But it does seem very, very easy. I've got all the details of my RNIB reading services account to hand. So, yeah, hopefully I will be up and running. I've already got used to using my Dot and have been very happily listening to podcasts and RNIB Connect Radio on it. I'm going to be spoilt for choice. I don't have to speak to my family ever again.
Robin, you're obviously, you know, people know you as the dot-to-dot guy, the dot-to-dot podcast man and all that. So, you know, you obviously know your way around these devices. You use them all the time. But I think as well, you know, Red talks about the Echo Dot, which is a brilliant device. And I love it for audio and for podcasts and for speech, essentially. But there are a ton of other devices in the Amazon Echo sphere, isn't there? So, you know, there are lots of different ways to listen to books via these devices. We mentioned TVs, for example. There's lots of devices in the category.
Absolutely, yeah. And there are Echoes with a screen. And I guess one question would be, does, you know, the artwork for the the cover art come up on an Echo with a screen. I mean, that's just a visual nicety, but, you know, it adds an extra level of richness. Maybe at some point that would be nice to add that, or to be able to tap through to get the book description on screen, to be able to review that at your leisure using Voice View, which is the built-in screen reader on Echoes with a screen. So yeah, there's loads of different platforms. You can get A Lady Auto for your car, and Echo Buds, where you can have her in your ears. So yeah, I'm really excited about this. Discoverability, I've never found that to be a problem. You know, just talk to people about what books they like. And the Thursday Murder Club, I would definitely put a shout out for that. That was on, admittedly abridged on Radio 4 recently, but I listened to the first quarter of an hour of it on the Monday night, and it was just so brilliant. I thought, okay, I'm going to stop listening here, I'm going to get the book. So and once you've got an author like Ben Aronovich with the Peter Grant series, you know, that's kind of crime and ghosts and stuff mixed together, then you're in a rich vein there. And yeah, with absolutely. The reading book services, you can just mine that vein until the end. And so yeah, it's an amazing world out there.
Paul, people wanting to get the skill, just a quick reminder, if you can, for people who want to just go and enable it right after this podcast, right after this show.
So you'll be able to say on your device, enable RNIB Talking Books, and then a link will be sent to your app on your smart speaker. Sorry, on your smartphone or tablet. Or you can go to alexa.amazon.com and sign in and manage your skills from that particular web page. But of course you do need to have an Amazon account to be able to do that, and you also need the reading services account as well.
We should say that often when you enable a skill by voice like that and open up the A-Lady app, on the homepage of that is a call to action to enable it. You know, if there's like a second step, which there would be in this case, to link your account. So you don't necessarily have to drill in down into the skills and search for it in the app or on the website. So I'm pretty sure that will happen here as well. So just have your app open and enable it by voice, and it should pop up on the front page of your app there to tap through and put in your account details.
Paul Porter from RNIB, thank you so much for coming on. Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet, of course, and Read On's Red Sail. Don't forget the show Fridays at 1 on RNIB Connect Radio and on podcast as well. Guys, thank you so much for being here this week.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And we'll catch you again for another Tech Talk next time.